It's funny too, because you know everybody thinks we're out on the road partying, but we're really in a Days Inn at 2 a.m. Yeah. after a show,
looking at the lines of Nazca. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always think we're having fun. It's like, no, we're just getting weird alone.
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is so good to not look at a shirtless, bloated mess.
There he is.
There he is.
It's amazing he's still alive.
It really is. I wonder what the insurance was like to before he went on this film, because they always give you know, if you're starring in a movie, even if you're just actually in the cast, you go get a physical and they're like, is this guy about to die?
Yeah.
And then it affects the insurance of the production. And like, that had to be a pretty pricey.
I know, but it's so annoying because he would kill that physical. And that's why you're like,
I know.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
What's going on? That's why I'm worried he's going to drop dead or something.
Yeah. It's going to be real. It's going to be a shock.
Yeah.
But then it won't be, because you'll be like, oh yeah, he was supposed to be dead for a while.
That funeral is going to be weird. Like, yeah, we knew. That's going to be the eulogy.
You'll be like, yeah, I spent a lot of time with him, and I always thought he was going to be dead.
Yeah. It's annoying. It's like the guy, you know, who doesn't gain weight, you know, he eats at the buffet, he eats ass, he eats pussy, never gains weight, and then, he's just always skinny. He's that guy with booze and career.
Right. That guy's really, the skinny guy is so fucking, I have an uncle who has, like, I don't know the weight, but it's got to be like 160, and he's in his 70s. He's never gained weight like his entire life, and runs and everything. He just had like a heart procedure, and he was like, I don't understand how I could have any problem with my heart. You know, and you're like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess it can still happen to you, like,
right?
You know,
okay, so he did have a problem.
Well, he had a problem, I guess, with his arteries, but he's like, but I'm physically fit, so what the fuck, you know?
Every fat guy's like, yeah,
yeah, we're all celebrating,
yeah. How about the guy who's like, oh, I smoked every day. I ate eggs and bacon for breakfast. I lived to 104.
That guy, I kind of admire.
I do too.
Because I know that I can't be him. I mean, it's all like a genetic thing. So one of my friend's granddads, he lived to 96, drank, smoked cigars, ate red meat, like just ate and lived like a savage. 96.
Wow. You know,
fine.
Pretty good.
But I mean, that's a genetic advantage, I think. It's not that, you know what I mean? Like, there was a guy on one of these Good Morning America shows. He was 104, one of those things where, like, we're going to visit an old as fuck guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go,
brought to you by Smuckers.
Yeah. They're like, what's the secret? And he was like, I eat ice cream every day. And you're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Great.
One day I want to see one of those where the guy's like, yeah, I'm black.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why I'm living so long.
Well, this guy was black.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Because I feel like somebody watches that and they're like, oh, ice cream. And it's like, yeah, for him, not for you.
Exactly.
Like, if I ate ice cream every day, I'd be like, I'm 57. I'm on dialysis because I eat ice cream every day.
I know. Like, I mean, I don't get weird and change it, but you know that kid who could just draw?
Yeah.
You know, he just would do it and it looked right. And you're like, how do you do that? And then you draw it and you look like a weirdo special, you know, you're like Michael J. Fox, you know, with a crayon. And you're like, how do you just draw it? No lesson, no nothing.
It's one of the skills that I have most been like floored by and admired, and you go like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
Especially in grade school when you're like, oh, you're not like a refined, trained kid. Cause the person I was closest to, my cousin Brian, who's born 2 weeks after me, we did everything together. It's like a natural thing where he's like, would draw a dragon. And you're like, oh my God.
How
like,
did you know to do that and have the perception with the depth and all that shit?
Or have you
mind.
Seen people go like, you know, sometimes fans will draw you.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy did one of those videos, like those, you know, the time lapse video.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where he's just looking at a picture of me and then the whole thing. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
that's bananas.
I can't do it.
Can't do it. Or this, now we're getting real deep into YouTube and Adderall. But you ever see the guy who like just throws a splash of paint and he's doing weird shit with like a knife?
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is it? And then he pulls back and it's a tiger?
Yeah.
With all the stripes and all the detail and the whiskers. And you go, what the fuck?
Or dude, have you ever seen like it in like a farmland thing where You can only see, but like you can, it's a, either a phrase or it's a drawing of something, but you can only see it from like a fucking plane.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, well, how would you know where to turn?
Right. And the, yes. Like, yes.
The craziest ones are the lines of Nazca. Have you seen that in Peru?
No.
The lines of Nazca. So it's N-A-Z-C-A, I think.
Mm.
So these are like world famous. I think that's how you spell it. Yeah. But look at the images.
So
right, and then these have been there for I don't know how long, but
yeah,
like how the fuck,
how unreal.
How is that?
How the hell do they do that? They have a different brain. These people,
and you can only see that from the air.
I know, so they don't even get the reveal the satisfaction.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, and I've seen like the ones in like here, and you know, you'll go to Iowa, and it's just like. Fucking go Hawkeyes. You're like, but how did you do it?
How did you do it? But now at least you can type it in some, you know, spreadsheet or whatever app that makes it work. But this is, you know, thousands of years old.
Yeah.
And everybody probably thought this guy was a kook and a witch and a weirdo. And look at that.
Yeah, I went and saw these once in like a small plane and nearly vomited.
Yeah.
And
That's what black people think we do as white people. Like, oh yeah, we do this. We get on a small plane. We check these out. It's free.
Yeah. I mean, that's some white people shit.
Yeah,
dude. So we took off in a confiscated drug plane.
Oh wow.
From Lima, and we fly over here. And my dad and my girlfriend at the time were with me, and it's a small plane. And so like as we're on the approach to see this, my dad's like, I gotta pee, and I was like, Didn't you pee before we took off? He's like, yeah, I got to go again. So I got to tell the pilots. I'm like, hey, the old guy's got to piss. And they're like, come on. Like, so they had to land in an airfield and get an oil can. And they're like, piss in this, man.
It's funny, too, because, you know, everybody thinks we're out on the road partying, but we're really in a Days Inn at 2 a.m. Yeah. after a show.
Looking at the lines of Nazca. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always think we're having fun. It's like, no, we're just getting weird alone.
I know you don't really read DMs.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of new to this whole success thing, and it's going well, and I read everything because I'm scared to lose one fan.
Uh-huh.
And it's just some guy like, if you want to get a beer before the show, I can show you my knife collection, and I have a snake. Let me know. Here's my address. And you're like, who would do this?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, do you know what I think the craziest one of those is? Hey, man, I saw that you're coming to Salt Lake. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, do you want to stay with me?
Oh.
And you're like, what?
That's a big one.
Like, do I want to stay with you? And they're like, yeah, I got an extra room. Like, no, dude. First of all, I don't know you.
You're right.
And you don't think there's a hotel involved in my travels?
Yeah. Like, you start to feel bad for women because you're like, oh, this is what they deal with from dudes.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And we're doing it, and it's not even sexual. It's just weirdo.
Yeah, it's weirdo. Yeah. And so, and look, sometimes there's ladies who are like, do you want to stay at my place? And you're like, but no.
Yeah.
Like, no.
How do you tell a woman, like, I want to put a dick in your vagina and then leave after?
I think you just did it.
Oh, okay.
That's the way to do it.
But they think we want to do other stuff. You're like, that's all I really want.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm wired. That's how I'm wired. I'm a human being male.
Do you always split after?
Well, I'm dating a gal. I'm seeing a gal now, but I would always go to their house because you got to get out of there.
You got
to
get out.
But when they're at your house, they're like, should I make breakfast or should we, you know, color or whatever and do a puzzle? I'm like, a puzzle?
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
I used everything I had to get you naked, like charm wise. I'm checked out. I'm bankrupt.
I'm totally out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I always say women should have to hit on us after sex because we bring the heat. We're doing stories and jokes and trying to get, you know, charming and all that. And then we go back to your house. We have sex. It's amazing. And then men want to leave, and this is when you should have to be like, all right, what's your sign?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's your favorite movie? Because we did it, now we want to leave, and now you're in our shoes.
Yeah, take over. You take the lead now.
Yeah.
You saw what I did this whole time.
Yes.
And I'm spent. I'm literally out of cum. I don't have any left.
I'm out.
That's all my juice. That's my power. That's my inspiration, like, is gone.
Right, right. And they're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I got nothing. You come up with something.
Yeah, yeah.
I used everything I had over there.
Yeah, I think we should put this message out there more. Ladies, it's time to step it up.
Step it up after. Yeah. After, because you had a free ride before, because the guy was like, hey, let's get dinner. What do you do for a living? Here's a funny story about that. Here's a joke. Now it's your turn.
Yeah. I remember, by the way, the one time that I got picked up by a chick in New York. It was on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
And she came over. I'm with a friend, and these two girls, cute, came over, sat on our laps, and they're like, "You guys are cute." And we were like,
"Wow,
okay."
It's easy.
Dude, it was so amazing. They took us back to their place. They had like some fucking 3-bedroom, like nice midtown apartment. Yeah. I was like, "Holy shit." I go in with this girl. He goes in with the other girl. We have sex. I know, this is amazing.
Were they in a blackout? I mean, no, it's St. Patty's.
It's St. Patty's. No, they were like, here's the funny part was, I can't believe it's happening.
Yeah.
I didn't try to do this. Usually my life was like trying, right?
You get one of these in life, dude, and this is yours.
Well, this is how it ends up. So we have sex. It's not amazing, but it's, you know, it's sex.
Sure.
And then when we were done, we're like laying there in her bed, and she's like, whatever. And I start saying something. I don't remember what I said, but I'm like, yeah, did you see, you know, the blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you don't have to talk. And I was like, what? And then I go, okay. And I went to sleep. And then the next morning, she was like, yeah, I'm making some eggs if you want them. And I was like, okay. And then it was like, then I run into my friend in their, I'm like, how was your night? He's like, I got blown like 3 times. How about you? I was like, I fucked her. I don't know. He's like,
This is woman of the year.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Fuck Caitlyn Jenner. This is it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. But like, that is one of those, you know, it was never like that any other time.
Yeah, of course. Never again. But this is up there with like when the hillbilly's like, they took me up on a spaceship and they put a probe up my ass. And you're kind of like, I don't know I'm still not sure if I believe you.
Yeah.
This is too crazy.
Well, what I realized like afterwards, I was like, oh, she went out the way that we normally go out.
Right.
Which was like, I want to get laid. And that was like, I think that was like just like her mission for the night. Like,
yeah.
I want to get laid. Got laid and was like, you can shut the fuck up now.
Wow. But it's so, why don't women do this more often? Because it would just,
I don't know.
You'd have a 99% hit rate.
I know. It would, you would absolutely have the high hit rate. But I guess like this lady was like more comfortable just going after what she wanted. A lot of people, you know, a lot of women want to play the game,
right?
It's got to be like, well, she was just like, here's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I was a lady, I guess that's just not what they're into. They want the foreplay and the flirty. But man, that is just so, it's like being gay for a minute.
Yeah.
You were treated like a gay guy when that was a gay dude and you got picked up.
That's why we just know that gays have it the best.
Ah, glory holes are socially distant.
Dude,
there's no face.
There's like, I have a friend in New York who's gay, and he said that, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to the park right now to just meet somebody. I'm like,
incredible.
I'm like, that's incredible,
man.
I'm like, and I would tell him, like, you realize this never, like, this can't happen.
Yeah,
for us, like,
no, it just can't. And you see, I'm jealous. Like the homophobia, I don't understand, because I'm like, what a great life.
The best.
You're at a rest stop and you're like, I'm going to get a Snickers and a head and then go back in the car and drive 6 hours.
And he was married to another guy.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, what is your husband? He's like, he knows what's up.
Oh,
like,
man.
We're the same. We need to fuck.
That's why AIDS was invented.
Yeah.
Just to have a payback.
Yep.
You know, we got to win somewhere.
For your awesome fucking lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Magic Johnson's still living.
Crazy.
He beat Kobe. All right, unlike him, that joke landed. All right, we're having fun. Suck it, Ari. That's a Kobe joke that got laughs, you fucking heeb.
Stupid Ari.
I know, yeah. Drug yourself, bitch. All right, sorry, that's like 4 years old.
So, no, he deserves it. Give it to him. So, speaking of New York and all the gays and everything there.
Yeah, a lot of gays.
You live there now. Do you feel like, because there's major exodus, you know, like I'm leaving here. A lot of people have left.
Mm-hmm.
New York, too. People are leaving New York.
Definitely. Big
Is
dent.
It in the cards for you, you think, or no?
I don't know, man. It's scary. I just love New York so much, and I got a cool apartment. I own a place there, and
it's addictive.
You know,
it's an addictive place to live.
It is. And like, I love L.A., but like, I feel like L.A. is a visit town.
Yeah.
Same with Austin. Austin's so fun. Sorry, a little statement.
Yeah, let it out.
But I live in New York, and I go to these fun places, but I like New York because you can't slow down there, and I kind of need that. I'm a lazy guy. I'm a drinker. I'm a douche. So, like, New York kicks you back up, and I need that.
Yeah.
I go in the woods, like, you know, people are like, I got this great house. It's a chalet in Utah. It's up in Park City. And I'm like, I go, this is beautiful. But then I sit there for 8 minutes and I go, I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I need that constant movement. And that's why I like New York.
I get that, because I've always lived in, or like chased living in a city.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I need city life. Like,
same.
Those vacations are fun sometimes to like get out. But even like, you know, a week on a beach, I'm like, all right, like, I really want to get back to like where things are happening.
I'm the same way. Yeah. These guys who need like downtime and peace and quiet, I can recharge in a day, and then you're there for another week.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah. Now for me, New York, I've always loved going there, but it's, to me, it's a visit town for me.
I got you. Like, that makes sense.
Also, like, the whole thing is like, you guys, it's like, you live hard.
It's not smart. I get it. I totally get it. When friends come there, they're like, the subway was late. Then there was a guy jerking off. It's freezing cold. My hotel room, I open the door and I hit the bed.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I get it. It's
but you
not,
love it.
But I love it. Yeah. You're not meant to live like that, but it's just, I don't know. It's just something about it. I get that energy in me, and I'm like, all right, I'm back. The New
and
York
I think
groove.
If you get something out of that city, like if it feeds you, leaving there is kind of like, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying.
And like, you know, I went to Austin, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you're like, this is crackling. It's bubbling up. Then I went to Miami, and you're like, this is unreal. Yep. The sun is shining. Everybody's happy. But again, I don't care about the beach.
Yeah.
The beach does nothing for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, L.A., I've lived here a long time. I love L.A., but it doesn't, I don't have that, like, you know, that feeling that, like, I can't, like, if I leave L.A., you know, how do I operate?
Yeah.
I just have to go to another city.
Right.
Where, like, things are happening, where there's life, there's, you know, there's restaurants, there's a scene.
Yeah, you gotta have a scene.
As long as there's that, I feel like I can live there, you know?
Yeah, like, we do the road. You've been to those towns where you're like, I need a fucking iPhone charger at 2 a.m. and just you're fucked.
Oh yeah.
And your phone dies and you're like, well, this is weird.
Yeah, no, I literally just had one where I was like, I need an iPhone charger, and they were like,
yeah,
like
yes,
the person at the hotel, I'm like, well, where do you get it? And they're like, I don't really know. I'm like, don't you have one? And
right,
they're like, yeah, but I don't remember how I got it.
Yeah.
I'm like all right,
exactly, kay. I know. And they're like, I have a Sidekick still. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
It sits on a cradle. I'm like, a cradle?
You know the weird thing is, too, if you do the road a lot, like, you sometimes you meet people and they're like, they'll say about their town, they're like, yeah, it kind of sucks here. And you go like, you know you can leave, right?
I never got that.
And they're like, yeah, I wouldn't know, like, where to go. Or I'm like, there's a fucking whole country. Like, you pick any place. And
I
like,
know.
And then you see them like, yeah, I guess I could.
You're like, yeah. They're scared. Like, I have
it's
friends
scary.
Who never left the country. They're like, ooh, Canada. I don't know. I got to get a passport. And do they speak French? What color are they up there? I don't get it. And you're like, just go.
You ever realize a friend hasn't been on a plane?
Yeah, like, that's a weird
one.
It's
so funny when you're like, yeah, so you're going to go. And they're like, what's it like on the planes? And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been on a plane? They're like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Like, you're in your 30s, man.
Like, I know. You've done heroin.
Yeah.
And like, you've never been on a United flight?
Yeah. I had a friend who was like terrified of it. I guess he was in his 20s still. And he goes, so like, I don't know, I'm just kind of scared. I'm like, because of like the barrel rolls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you mean? I go, well, sometimes they'll do tricks up there.
And,
and he totally was like, no. I go, yeah, man, it's fun. He's like scared of it.
Right.
And I was like, dude, they don't fuck around. It's a,
or this guy, well, I don't go on a plane, 9/11, man.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you live in the projects, you know, like, come on, go nuts. You don't wear a condom. You have six kids, you have VD.
You're crazy.
Yeah, you're already crazy. Don't worry about terrorists.
So you're going to stay in NYC, though.
I guess so. I mean, the taxes are going up. I mean, I don't know anything about business. You're a good business guy. But like Biden goes, hey, we're going to spend $8 trillion on this. I'm like, where do we get that? Do we make that? How does that work? NFT? I'm clueless.
They will. They're going to raise federal taxes. So that means like all of us will pay more. And then states like California, New York will raise the state income tax. Well, they're proposing it. It'll pass. It always passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they'll pay more and then they'll tax people who do well, you know.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I mean, we're always in a deficit in this country. Like, you look at like the national. Can you look up what the national like deficit is right now? Because it's always astonishing. Like, it's numbers that you can't comprehend.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what, $3.1
trillion in 2020, more than triple. the deficit for 2019.
Is that China? Do we get that from China?
I mean, we owe them a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And but then you think, okay, well, our country is falling apart, you know, racism, yeah, whatever the hell, kids in cages. But then everybody's trying to get in here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't get anything.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Yeah, I have cousins in South America who are like, I think we're going to move to the States. You know, because honestly, it's as crazy as everything you just listed sounds, you forget how much worse it is in other places.
Right, and I feel like some queefs on Twitter need to start admitting that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're bitching and moaning about how bad America is. And look, I'm not some patriotic weirdo, but I'm just saying, all you do is bitch and moan, but you got this great apartment with air conditioning and a nice car and streaming video and Grubhub and Grindr and all this shit.
We're lucky. We're lucky as fuck.
We're lucky.
Here. Yes.
And no one will admit it.
I know, because all we do is complain in this place.
Yeah,
you know?
That's all we do.
And at least if you're going to complain, be a fucking comedian. Be funny about your complaints.
Right, hear, hear.
Yeah, but so I mean, you know, like, yeah, the people who just bitch and moan about every fucking thing, you know, about every little, yeah, like.
I'm with you.
You know. You can have coffee delivered.
I know.
You know, it's like, it's a fucking amazing place to live.
It's incredible, and there's an escort in the phone book. I mean, everything you want is here, and I don't think we're as racist as we say we are. You know, it's like, well, then why is Oprah doing so well, and, you know, Jay-Z seems fine. I don't know. Maybe you're racist, and you got some shit you got to deal with. I don't know. I think the more Nigerians have moved here than black people were enslaved.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of fun.
I didn't know that.
And then
that's a stat.
That's a stat. Look it up there, Jew face. And then I think everybody's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, poor people have 2 flat screens and 3 Hondas and 8 phones.
Yeah, you're right, man.
I don't get it. And then people hate rich people, but then they pay more in taxes.
This is what kills me.
And then they go, we need their money. I'm like, but I thought you hated them. But you what? Now you're glad they're rich?
People that hate the rich also never admit that they aspire to be rich.
That's another thing.
Yeah. Or like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, you know, you with all your money, or, you know, like, people say it to me.
Right.
I'm like, first of all, I don't know how wealthy you think I am. But also, you know that I've been broke a lot longer than I've been successful.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, they never factor that in.
Super broke for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, struggling to pay, to come up with my $600 for the rent. You know,
right.
It's like that was a struggle for years.
Of course. And not to mention, this was a gamble. I took a shot that you didn't. So fuck you. I went 10 years of open mic and the road and losing money and eating ramen noodles and all that shit.
The other thing that bothers me about the racism thing in the United States, racism exists and there are racist people. And like you said, like, I don't know to what degree we should label the amount of racism, but I hate that people fail to recognize how much racism exists in other countries in the world.
Oh, they're throwing bananas on the field in soccer.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Or like in my own family, like my mother's family is from Peru. She's from Peru. You go down there, the minority is white. The majority is native, right? Like what we would call like Indian or we used to call.
Sure,
right? And so like Native American, that's like
indigenous.
And like indigenous people, exactly. Dude, the white people down there are so openly racist, but then they'll be like, you guys got a real race problem in the United States. I'm like, no, dude. Like, you got a problem here.
Yeah. Then we do that weird thing where it's like, now whatever the hashtag is, the news just leans into that and they forget about the other shit. The news is very dangerous. They'll be like, stop Asian hate. So here's a bunch of Asian people getting beat up in New York. And then you're like, you know, my friend's a cop. He's like, well, they're beating up all these other people. Like this old white lady got stomped on by, you know, a crazy guy. And they're like, don't put that out. We're on this one now. And you're like, I know, but she's a person too. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all bad. Weird. We should all be against
it's all bad.
Assaulting people.
Yeah.
That's always bad.
And if we're all equal, then stop picking the race du jour. I thought we were equal.
Right.
But hey, what the hell do I know? I was molested by Cuomo. I don't know. It just seems like the news is dangerous. They're feeding us all this shit, and people want to be mad, so they buy into it. And no one looks. It feels like the news. You gotta Google 8 different channels now just to get the kind of kernel of the truth.
But that bums me the fuck out because when I grew up, you basically could trust the nightly news.
Yes,
you had Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, and Dan Rather.
Yeah,
and basically you were like, these are nice old white uncles of mine. And they would just like read prompter.
That was
Here's what happened. And then a report from the field and back. CNN started with just round the clock prompter reading.
That's what it is.
You didn't know their personality.
Right.
You didn't know like their interests.
Yes.
Like I was like, who gives a fuck about this person's interest?
I know.
Interest? And now all like CNN, Fox, MSNBC, they all have a total agenda. And they're like, do you want this type of news?
Right.
Then watch our program. You're like, no, I want you to read the objective, like, here's the story.
Exactly. You never got any emotion out of a new. He'd be like, whoa. Every now and then you're like, whoa, well, this something's up here.
Yeah, something's up, yeah.
Like a terrorist attack. Oh, boy, this just in. And that was new, or now it's new to get this weird, like, and God damn it, my kids. And you're like, what? You're a newscaster.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I remember, like a transition and kind of happening when, so CNN was round the clock, you know, just news.
Yeah.
And then Fox, what happened was they actually figured out that if they did like personality driven and feed an audience and that it would bring in numbers, which it did. And they started to just clobber CNN.
Right.
And then I still remember like watching, if you watch like old Anderson Cooper stuff, it is just reading prompter.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Before and then we knew he was gay, even.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know anything about him.
You didn't know anything about him. And it was like 10, 12 years ago where I remember watching just CNN on, like, watching the news. And, like, he had, like, just personal, you know, personality stuff in this news report where he was like, I don't know. I mean, when I go there, I kind of just want to be able to sit down and not have to. I'm like, why is he, like, talking?
Yeah.
Like on a, such a personal level during this news report. And then it was like a slow thing where you go like, oh, they're trying to match what their competitors are doing now. Like show personality, have like a leaning agenda. So they started to lean left. You know? And then it was like, oh, so now, like you said, you got to search stories outside of the United States to find out what's happening in the United States.
It's crazy. And it'd be, how fun would it be to take a CNN anchor and be like, I want you to admit you're ripping off Fox.
Oh, yeah.
They would never. We hate them. Yeah. They're the enemy. Like, but you're kind of doing
that
thing.
You're kind of doing that thing.
Yeah.
Like now, if you travel, especially you're abroad and you watch like BBC news, they're like what we grew up with. They'll be like, you know, this morning in the United States, and they just read a story, mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's what's happening in Dallas today.
Okay. Yes.
But I had to go to London to find out what's happening in Dallas.
It's scary, man. It's weird times, and I think that's why everything is so splintered now. You know, before it was like, beep, 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 beep. Uh-oh, yeah. Shut up, the news is on.
Yeah.
And now it's like, now I hear like, you know, hey, this is racist, or this is sexist, or this is whatever, there's a hate crime, and I'm like, I'll figure that out later. I don't even buy it anymore.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. But also, it's such a bummer because you go, you know, I feel like someone's just watching this and reacting to hysteria.
I know.
You know, I mean, like, I never heard, it used to be like, you knew one conspiracy guy.
Right.
And you're like, this fucking psycho. And now it's like a segment of the population.
I know.
It's like so many people that like, you know, like, there wasn't like that big of an anti-vaxxer thing. Those were like considered just lunatics.
Yes, exactly.
And now it's like the people are like openly like, yeah, man, fucking, I don't want to take that shit. And you're like, why?
So true. Like, I'm in QAnon now, apparently.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I'm in. But the other thing is like, you're right about the emotion thing. Because you see comedians, they'll write a joke and get no love. And they're like, I'm going to write about when I got diddled. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh my God, are you okay? Yeah, and they're like, oh, I got something here.
I got something here, yeah.
So now the ha-ha is gone, but we got the support thing. And that's kind of, comedy went that way for a while.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, we're like away from jokes.
Yeah. Jokes.
I know. You're a really good joke writer. You're I feel like you and Sam, you do a podcast with Sam Morril.
Yes.
What is it? It's We Might Be Drunk. Also, just like pure joke writers. I wonder if like being in New York fuels that in a way.
Well,
it's like that type of audience.
Definitely.
You know?
Quick. We have ADD. We need, it's a New York minute, you know? So you got to have a punch. And then you come out to LA and you're like, wow, I just got lost in this guy's story and had a big ending. And I'm like, I don't have the courage to like sit in a story. I went for Bill Burr once years ago and he was like, hey, you got good stuff, but like, you got to start blowing that stuff out and getting into stories. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And I tried it, and it went horrible, and I wasted 10 minutes, and I just went back to jokes.
Well, I mean, you do jokes really well, so I don't think
they're so hard to write. It takes me years. You know, you write one joke, and you're like, oh, that was 11 seconds.
I know. I remember talking to Jeselnik about it one time. He's like, yeah, you know, I have like 60 jokes when you tell a story.
I know. Yeah. And I'm so jealous, but I do love a good zinger.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's no, like, as great as, like, great stories are, and, like, I do a lot of stories. I feel like even in my own act, I look forward, like, when I go, oh, I have, like, these jokes around this story. They're fun to tell. And I still, I mean, everybody appreciates a great line.
Of course.
It's like a great setup and punch.
But, well, two questions. One, do you ever have that story? Have you ever had a story that just you had to give up after like a year of trying it? And you're like, it just isn't hitting, but you wasted all that time on it and you just gave it up?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And also,
terrifying.
So there's this one story where I was touring with it. I shot it in a special two specials ago. And then when I did the edit it down, I was like, yeah, cut it. Like, I just didn't love it enough.
Mm-hmm.
The next special, I shot it again.
Wow.
And I cut it again.
Wow.
And then, so now I'm touring again and I have the story that I've cut twice.
Yeah.
So now I've made it like the story is better.
Of course.
Now.
Yeah.
Because every time that I've kept doing it, it gets a little bit better.
All that honing.
Yeah. So now I'm like, oh, maybe I'll keep it in this time.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know. Like, I started closing on it. So I'm like, oh, this might be the time that it's ready. But it's like, it's something that I've been like working on for like 3 or 4 years, like getting the story right. But I've had other ones where you go, you know what, I hate doing stand-up where you go, you get like, I mean, if to kind of give it a reference for people, you know, a killer line is like a 10, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, a 5 is like chuckles.
Sure.
And I hate having a line that gets like a 5 or 6 and then just being like, I'll just keep telling it like that.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you.
Like after a few months, you're like, fucking change the line.
Yes.
Like, you know, change the line. And then you start to, and then you might on a show try a line and it gets like a 3 and you're like, oh, fuck, I'll just go back to that 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But then if you get loose enough and you're willing to risk enough, you can make it a 10.
Right.
You know,
right.
But you have to be willing to eat shit.
That's so true.
And that's hard to do.
This is why you're up here, because you're a cut above, because a lot of people get that five and they go, hey, it's still a laugh. It's, like, yeah, a five is something, but you know you got to tweak it. And that's A, why you got to get up a bunch and run it a bunch, yep, and fail a bunch.
Yes.
And B, why a special should take a little time. You know, these guys like, I do an hour a year. You're like, you're not Louie. You're not,
yep,
jerking off.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. Like, just get better. Do it longer. There's no rush.
There's,
I know,
no rush.
The special is so enticing to people because you get all the accolades, yes, and the buzz, and we got a press tour and all that. But like,
but what's better than getting a special is getting a special that's fucking awesome.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Take your time and make it work.
Take your time.
You got to do the club spots.
You got to do
it. That's what I've learned. You can do, what happens is if you insulate yourself into the big shows, you lose that kind of like connective tissue.
Yes.
That you get in a club that you can't mimic. Because the bigger the stage, the more it becomes a presentation of your act.
Aha.
You know, it's like if you're doing an arena, it's, you might as well be on a DVD.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And you're presenting it. But clubs are the only place where you can really fuck around, really try shit. And that's the thing, in a club, if you try a line and you bomb,
mm-hmm,
it's like, you know, you acknowledge it and you kind of,
right,
you can make it a thing.
I love that.
In a theater, it's different, you know.
You just, like, keep going.
Yeah, you kind of got to be like, and you're kind of like, I mean, there's 3,000 people there. You can't be like, hey guys.
Yeah.
You know, but it's 150 people. It's like, it's engaging and,
yeah,
it's how you make it work. I don't know.
But that's what's great about comedy is like, there's some musicians not like, ping, oh shit, that was bad. Hold let me get back. Santeria, yeah, or whatever the fuck, you know. You got to just keep going. But we can address, and that's the whole essence of comedy, is that honesty and that keeping it real thing.
Yeah.
So that's why it gets weird when comics are like up there being preachy and, that's why the angry comic I never really got into, because I'm like, are you that mad all the time about this?
Yeah.
Come on. You're full of shit. I get it. You're performing, but like, you're talking about candy corn.
Right.
You know? But my second question for you, because I'm fascinated with the story stuff. What happens when you have no story? You don't really drink. You're a married guy or whatever. You married?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jim Jeffries said, no great story ever started with, I ate a salad.
Right.
You know, so do you kind of get into an accident on the 405 and go, all right, this could be something?
Well, that's actually a really good question. So it happens every time a special comes out, but now the feeling is familiar.
Mm.
So, which is like, it's always daunting and you're like, fuck, what am I going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
But then you go, this is how I felt last time and I figured it out. So that part comforts the feeling of despair. And then, honestly, the thing that helps the most is talking to somebody that you really click with.
Yes.
Who knows you, and you start going like, they go, you studied abroad, right? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, where'd you, and then I start going like, I remember this and I remember that, mm-hmm, like when I was in Spain. And then I'm like, oh, I had this job. I was in Boston for like 8 weeks. And so you start telling stories to a friend.
Yeah.
And you start basically mining for things like that.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
I balance that with what's happening in my life at the time. So like, uh-huh, right now I have a 2 and a 5-year-old. So like, I have 10 minutes.
Sure.
From them. And then it's basically a back and forth of like old stuff, like old thing that, what story hasn't happened, you know, a story, yeah, that I haven't told yet, and then current stuff that's happening.
Wow. Jeez. I got the whole formula there.
Yeah. And then I try to do a little bit of topical stuff too.
Aha. Uh-huh. Keep it fresh.
Yeah. So it's like, that's kind of like, I don't know how I build it.
That's one thing I will say, as a joke guy, I can kind of pull a joke out of thin air, not thin air, but like, oh, that's weird. You know, you're at the coffee shop, yeah, you're like, what's weird how people do that? And then you write it down, then it becomes a bit. But I feel like the story stuff kind of has to be an event, like something had to happen.
Yeah, something has to happen. And then what ends up happening is, like, and Bert is actually really good at this, is that because he's a great embellisher and exaggerator.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll take the roots, like this is the blueprint of a real story, but he just punches it up so crazy,
mm-hmm,
with like, you know, details that are fabricated or,
sure,
exaggerated, but like that, if you're, because he's like a fantastical storyteller.
He's good.
You know, but it's like, it's almost like, you're like, did that really happen?
It's,
he's
fantasy.
Like, who cares?
Right.
You
this
know?
Is entertainment.
Right. So mine is more like rooted in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I just have to like basically keep trying lines.
Ah.
So it's like, it's jokes within a story.
Yeah, you are writing.
So you're writing, yeah. But it's like, sometimes I'll tell that story and I'm like, well, it just feels like there's nothing oh my God, like there's not that big line. So then I start going like, well, where could lines go?
Right.
Like joke lines go.
Yes.
You know?
See, that's the important part, because some schmuck in Idaho is like, I got stories.
Yeah.
And then he goes up and eats shit, but he has maybe a big ending. It's that middle, that's the professionalism.
Yes. Yeah. And like finding jokes in the little nuances, like, because I also like balancing subtle jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like where it's like, it's not a punch in the face. You need the punch in the face somewhere in your story.
Yeah, yeah.
The big line.
Of course.
But I like having the little lines throughout. Like you do a lot of like little lines. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's almost like a throwing it aside, but it's actually the joke.
Yes,
you know? Like,
yes.
So like having those in, I think, you know, makes it work. I don't know.
I agree. Well, I'm worried we lost half the crowd with our joke jizzing, but...
go fuck yourself.
Epstein's innocent. I don't know. I'm just trying to say something to get him back.
You did something, by the way, because I've said this on multiple podcasts, how much I admire the guys like yourself who did the self-release special.
It was a failure, but wait, turned into something great.
Why is it a failure?
Well, nobody would buy it. I was doing this act on the road, and it was really clicking. It was hitting, and I was like, I got something here. And I'm a big comedy nerd, and I'm hard on myself, and I was still like, this is a solid hour.
Which, by the way, sorry to cut you off, I remember being in a green room with Attell opening for him one time, and it's about what you're saying. I go, everybody started doing albums.
Yes.
This is like 2005, let's say.
Sure.
So I go, somebody asked me if I'm going to do an album. Should I do an album? And he goes, do you have an hour you're in love with? And I go, no. And he goes, well, there's your answer.
Wow.
So it's like, do the thing when you go, this is something.
Yeah.
So I always remember that. So whenever they go, do you want to do a special? I'll be like, not yet. And then I'll make a call. I'll be like, hey, we can book it now.
Right.
Because now I feel like it's solid.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, so you feel like this is something.
Yes. But I tell your story all the time. Like, what, do you want to be an actor? With you and Attell.
Oh, yeah.
That shit hit me to my core. And I heard that 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever that was.
That was so demoralizing.
Oh, dude. I think about that all the time.
This was, so he requested me.
Yeah.
Which was like.
That's huge.
So this was the first time. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to feature for Attell. Then the next year, they're like, Attell's coming, asked you to, if you would do it. And I was like, fuck yeah. And I did like two of the same jokes.
Oh
from
my
the,
God.
From the previous year. Yeah, and he was like, what, do you want to be an actor or something? I was like, what? He was like, I mean, you don't have a new 20 minutes? And I was like,
Yeah.
I was like, I want to die.
Right now. I'm like, the king, the funniest guy on the planet. It's like, you're not a comic.
Yeah, you're not really working.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, yeah, I have a job, though. You know, like, I wasn't a full-time guy.
Sure.
You know? And I was like, yeah, that was so painful.
Yeah, I think about it. Well, you know, when I'm like, I'm not going to write today, I think about that. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm back.
Like, I don't want to be a fucking actor like Tom. So you say, I got something. Do you call an agent and go like, can we get a special? Like,
yeah, all that. I had the tape, the DVD, whatever it was, the link. And I'm at the Denver Comedy Works ripping it, and they have a camera. So I'm like, give me that footage. Saturday early show is the best show. Here, you take this, send it to Netflix or HBO or Amazon, whatever it is. And they were like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We like you. You know, you get that email. They're all big fans.
They love you.
Yeah. And you're like, they don't love me. But whatever. So then I thought, all right, that's not working. And I just kept doing that hour. Now it's getting better and better. Like your story, it's just honing and honing. So it was almost like, well, maybe it was for the best because now it's even better.
Yeah.
And then I said, I bet if we film it, they'll buy it. Like if we do all the work for them, like the cameras and the lights, and we rent the theater and we fill it up and we color correct it and sound all that shit. And I was like, all right, let's do that. That's the next goal. So then we did that. I spent all my money, you know, doing that. Still didn't buy it. And so I said, well, this, I'm not going to throw it in the garbage. So, and I'm embarrassing myself when I go back to Denver 2 years in a row and they go, they're mouthing my jokes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that hurts. I gotta write a new hour, so I gotta put this thing out. So YouTube is the only other option.
And now you're approaching 7 million views.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. So if you haven't seen Out to Lunch, it's on YouTube, and it's a great special, man.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate
it. It's so like I actually because I love like I consider it like a real entrepreneurial move, and I love that like because I feel like a lot of comics don't acknowledge or even realize that we're all entrepreneurs.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like you're running Mark Norman. Comedy business
exactly,
you know? So
completely
like to do that, and then like obviously it worked because you know, a lot of people watched it. A lot of people buy tickets to see you now. So, like, that is the path you want to be on, you know?
Oh, really?
For sure, man.
Oh, well, that means a lot. Thanks. Because, you know, my mom is still like, oh, yeah, what does YouTube pay? And you're like, well, it's kind of, it doesn't really pay. It's not like a network like that. And she's like, it doesn't pay. And you're like, no, you know, you get like a check every month for $800 or something. Yeah. She's like, oof. And I'm like, no, no, it's got views. She's like, well, how long do you have to watch it to get a view? And I'm like, Jesus, whore, you're killing me. But yeah, that's maybe that's why I'm a comic. But yeah.
Yeah, that's why, that is why you're a comic for sure. But it, I mean, like, you're, you did like, the difference is you doing that. The other side of it is somebody who's like, I can't get a special. And they're like, you know,
yeah, there's that guy.
Oh, there's so many of that guy. And then sometimes he's like, they don't want to fucking give specials to white guys. And you're like,
yeah,
okay.
Right. And like, maybe if there's truth to that, but you still got to figure it out. You know,
dude, like
NWA couldn't sell a record, but they still made it work.
You got to make it work.
Yes.
And it's like you don't make, like, things don't happen by somebody being like, people don't want to give me stuff, so I'll just sit here. And
yeah.
You're like, okay. I mean, there's so many, we know so many comics
that's
like that.
That's 99% of comics.
Yeah. And there's so many of those guys are the ones too, who you're like, where is that guy? And they're like, well, he stopped doing it.
Yes.
You know? Which was like, always like, oh yeah.
Yeah. You're like, good.
The only thing you can do is like move forward.
Right.
And like, if an opportunity isn't given to you, you make it happen. And that's what I loved seeing that, like, you, Schultz, Giannis, Sam, like, you guys all shot things and put it out. I'm like, yeah, that's like, that is it's inspiring, I think, you know?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And I kind of am glad it's on there now. I'm glad I own it. I'm glad I get to see the numbers. I'm glad I get to show people and share a link easily. And I get all these emails. I love it. Now I want to do comedy. I showed it to my aunt. I showed it to my friends and all that. So that's all great.
Have you ever gotten the message? Hey man, I love your comedy. I've got a couple jokes. If you want to hear them, like I
get that all the time.
Yeah. And you're like,
yeah, I want to hear your joke with three N words in it for no reason. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a point and I lost it.
Oh, sorry.
I lost it. But boy, it was something juicy. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone.
That was my fault.
It's like my boner.
Also, sorry, because we mentioned the one you do with Sam Real, We Might Be Drunk. You also have been doing Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List for a minute.
Oh, we've been doing that for 7-8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So another podcast you can check out with Mark. You toured Europe with Bert.
Ah, yes. That was a tough 2 weeks.
What? What? I don't really, what was that like?
Well, Bert called, and Bert's a friend, and you got to hand it to Bert for being rich. He's shooting movies. He's hanging out with Snoop Dogg, and he's still like a normal, you know, nice, fat guy.
Yeah, he really is.
And I appreciate that, and I'll never forget it. Some guys, they got one fucking t-shirt sale, and they're like, all right, I'll see you in hell. Like, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, Tim Dillon. But yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Tim Dillon is a very funny gay man. But Bert is super cool. And I was like, he's like, hey, you want to go to Europe? And I'm like, trip to Europe, paid to do comedy, drinking, the whole thing. I'm in. When am I going to Europe?
Yeah.
And it was challenging.
Really?
Well, I like to drink as much as the next guy, but I'm a normal human being who gets hung over and is an introvert and likes being alone and all that.
Yeah.
And Bert's like, drinking all night, shots, eating pizza at 5 a.m., then waking up at 9 a.m., hitting the treadmill with a Coors Light, and I'm like, I'm shitting blood, I'm trembling, you know, I'm foaming at the mouth, I'm in a, you know, a coke den with two naked guys. I'm like, what happened? How'd we get here? And he's like, hey, I'm at the gym, then I'm going to do some promo. You want to be in my video where we roller skate in our panties? I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. This is day two. Yeah. And we got a flight tomorrow at 7 a.m. to Copenhagen. And I don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah, I could. I think about like how I would never be able to tour with him. Like the way I've done vacation with him. And I did a 1 day trip to San Francisco with him where he picked me up at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
With a 32-ounce vodka soda.
There you go.
And then we went to the airport, and we went to the bar, and they're like, Bert! Like, the bartenders were like, Bert!
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then...
And he likes it. We run from that. We go, this guy knows us. Let's go to a different place.
Drinks a couple there, get on the plane. He was like, double, and then keep coming.
Yeah.
And so they brought him... And, like, I'm drinking one for every two or three that he's drinking.
Yes.
And we get to the hotel at fucking, I don't know, like, noon or 11 a.m., and I was like, I'm going to go, like, take a nap.
Yeah.
And I go, what about you? He goes, I'll be right here. And I'm sitting at the bar. And I see him like 3 hours later. And here's the thing. We drank all the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm just like,
yes,
like this. And he, I go, what are you going to do? He's like, doesn't it feel great? Like, just keep that buzz going.
No.
And I go, I'm so tired.
Right.
And he goes, oh no, like I feel, and he looks fine.
He looks great.
Fine.
Yeah. Like, he's shirtless at a 5-star restaurant eating steak and taking photos with everybody.
Yeah.
And I want to kill myself. Yeah. I just want to go home, but he yeah. can do it. And the whole time selfishly, I don't know, 13 days in, I'm like, he's going to crack. There's yeah. got to be some point where he's going to fall into a ball of tears at some point. And he never did.
And the energy stays here. You know,
yes.
like he doesn't have that, like that drag. Like,
no, no drag.
No, he's just like, you go, I think there's something to this Mickey Mantle gene, man.
No doubt about it. I mean, when I saw that fat cunt on the elliptical, I was pissed. I was like, God damn it. And then we did three shows that night or two shows that night, and he pulls it off. Then he sells merch. Then he does photos. Then he signs posters. I mean.
And then he's like, hey, to the audience, do you guys want to come out with me? And
you're
like, what are you doing? And then tells them all to come to a bar, and then we'll hang out, photograph shots with everybody at the bar. And you're like, how do you do this?
I don't know how he does it, and it's damn impressive.
It's like he has Joe Rogan's drive for exercise for drinking and meeting people. Like, you know, Joe won't miss a workout, and
right.
like, there's no way I'm not going to shake hands and
yeah,
have a shot with
this
guy. He's
Joe Rogan and Geraldo together somehow, who died of a drug overdose. But yeah, he can do them both.
He can do them both.
And that's why his career is soaring, because he never has to have downtime.
Yeah, no.
And we need, you're a comfort guy and you have self-esteem.
Yeah.
I have no self-esteem and I'm fine in discomfort and I still couldn't hang. Because I was like, I'm built for this. I'm a weirdo who likes to drink and likes to party and can rally. And it was still impressive, and he blew me out of the water. And he's 68 years old.
Yeah, he's on his insulin. He's doing all right.
Like when he's in a rascal at 98, he'll be racing that rascal and drinking spiked prune juice and, be racing the guys at Walmart and filming it.
Oh, he definitely will be. Yeah, he will be. And he's going to be one of those guys that you're like, how's this guy alive now?
Yeah.
He's going to be in his 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll be like, you're alive?
I know. I'm waiting for the selfie where he's pouring Tito's into the IV bag. And he's like, taking his teeth out and shit.
He'll be a fun old drunk guy.
You know what it is with Burton? Maybe I shouldn't say this because it's a little dicey, but he has no sex drive.
Right.
I've never seen him. Like, he's like, oh, she's pretty or whatever.
Yeah.
But he has no, like, I got to fuck or
no.
I got to go jerk off.
And also, usually alcohol fuels those
yes.
things, and it doesn't happen with him.
Not with him. He'll fuck a Big Mac up.
Yeah.
But he's never like, let's go to a strip club or a brothel.
No.
He has none of that, whereas other guys, that's a kind of a real crutch.
Yes.
And maybe that's the fuel he's using. He took this sex drive wire and plugged it into his, heart. And
yeah.
he took it out of his dick, and plugged it into his heart, and it's pumping in there.
That's
I don't know what
so
it is.
So true, because he's never, ever, ever trying to fuck. Like, there's no such, like, he doesn't have any of that, like, the wandering eye.
Nothing. Like, we went to a strip club once, and we just made jokes, and I'd be like, I'm going to go in the back room and get a lap dance from this fat Samoan chick. And he was like, nah, let's just hang out and talk. And I was like, all right. And that's him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, and I know he's married with kids, but even if he was single, he wouldn't have it.
I don't think so either. No, he definitely would be the type to get into a relationship.
Yep.
And he would be, that would be his lady. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he's getting it.
Yeah. Maybe his T level's real low.
T level?
Testosterone.
Ah.
Maybe we should get him checked.
Yeah.
And then we get him on some tea, and then all of a sudden he's just fucking everything in the world. His wife would be so mad at me.
Oh, like, of course.
You did this with his TRT.
I thought Ari was bad. You gave him tea. At least Ari gave him Molly. That's the other thing. Ari's on Molly. I mean, Bert's on Molly. I was at the store with him, and he's just like, woo, let's drink, baby. Yeah, he's high-fiving everybody, watching a game. But there was no, like, oh, look at those tits. When you're on Molly, you want to touch stuff and finger yourself, and he had none of that.
It doesn't happen with him, man. It doesn't happen. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand how his kidneys work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that well-versed in, medicine, but I feel like people that really tie one on like he does, at a certain age, your kidneys start to go like, hey, man,
You'd think. He told me he went to the hospital once for like a checkup or something, and they're like, yeah, your cholesterol's a little high. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. What else did they say? He's like, that was it. That's I'm it. Like, that's what? Just red meat and shit.
Yeah.
What about the booze and the liver and the kidneys and your brain and all that? He's like, oh, I didn't bring it up.
No.
Like, that's all I want to know about, you fucking booze bag. Yeah, he's a special case, and thank God we have him in the comedy world. Like, thank yeah. God he's not just some accountant who doesn't know this about himself.
Yes.
You know, he knew his path. He
we
found
talked
it.
About, like, what would be, like, if we didn't have comedy, what would we be doing?
Yeah.
And, like, he's like, I would be cleaning boats in Tampa. Like, I'd be like, he'd be a fun guy.
Yeah.
Flip-flops every day.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw out a beer, the catch it.
Oh, yeah.
Shotgun it.
Hey, man, there's still some barnacles on this thing. I'll get it. And you scrub them off.
Right.
That would be him.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's probably a couple of these guys out there, this like Super Friends Justice League of crazy Mickey Mantle alcoholics, but he's at least showcasing it to the world.
Yes.
They're probably just, yeah, like you said, cleaning boats or, you know, working at a strip club or something.
I would be a fucking miserable cunt for sure.
Yeah.
If I wasn't, oh yeah. Because all this rage wouldn't have a place to be channeled.
Yes.
Into, you know?
Yes.
That's the healthy outlet. Is getting on stage
right.
and getting things out and being, you know, good being point. Able to say, fuck this and talk shit. Mm-hmm. That's a really good release for emotionally.
Same here.
You know?
That's why yeah. the pandemic was tough.
Of course. Yeah.
We couldn't get it out and we're just rotting away in our houses.
Yeah. It was the fucking worst, man.
The worst.
Because I remember I went through periods with it where it was like, it was March. And I remember I had dates and they're like, we're going to move into April.
Mm.
I was like, okay. And then it felt, I was like, oh, it's cool. I have like a month. This is a yeah. nice vacation.
Yeah.
Then that month kind of ends and you're like, so what's up? And they're like, I think we're going to move into May because this doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be like, I was like, all right. And then like by May, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of antsy.
Oh, yeah. You know? Then you hit your wife and you're yeah. like, well, how do we get here?
And we're like, oh man, all your teeth are out now. Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
So
I'm yeah. with you. And that's why, and this is the point I forgot and I got it back somehow. Yeah. The pandemic, comics kind of had to make a choice. Like, am I going to go all in on pods? Am I going to do videos? Am I going to
yes.
start a website or whatever the fuck, a web series and a sketch show or whatever? And a lot of them did jack shit and bitch the whole time or turned on each other or whatever it was. And not a lot leaned in and just said, hey, you know, I'm going all in on this, you know, whatever idea I have.
Yeah, dude, yes. And you see... The difference is when something happens like the pandemic, something you could never, ever predict or, mm-hmm. or who takes action.
Yep.
And then who does the thing where they're just like, this just sucks.
This sucks.
Like, yeah, we all think it sucks.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go crazy and I'm sick of watching, you know, fucking Sherlock Holmes on BBC or whatever the fuck yeah. it is. And you got to just go into something and put your energy into something. I bought a piano.
Yeah.
I made all these wacky videos around New York.
Do you play piano?
I suck. I play like...
I started taking lessons a month and a half ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Me too.
Really?
Well, I'm doing it my own lessons, which is a bad idea because I'm just basically playing Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I put my phone up to it and it sure. has like the YouTube.
Yeah.
And it says BEC and I'm doing that, but it's something.
It's something, it's a definitely a healthy, like, I really dig it.
Yeah, me too.
So there's the piano teacher was teaching my kids, and then one day I was like, hey, do you teach adults?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah.
Retarded ones.
Yeah. Like yourself.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I want a lesson.
Yeah.
And then I remember going like, oh, it's just going to be like C major, E flat. Like, it's going to be like, I was like, I'll just, you know, I'll do it just to.
It does suck initially. You got to get over the hump.
She actually was like, oh, just send me what you want to play and we'll just work on that.
Mm.
And I was like, oh. So I started sending her stuff and I go, I want to play this. I want to play that. And then she would show up and we would just work on those. And then as we're working on them, she was like, oh, you should know that like this C, D, E, you know, like.
Yeah.
Basic. So, but the more the focus was on the music I wanted to play, mm-hmm. which was like more enjoyable.
Of course.
You know? So then, yeah,
that's,
I don't know.
That's fucking hilarious that you're like, you see the kids, you yeah. got it for the kids before you.
Yeah.
You know, like. Eventually you're doing homework, you're like, I should learn math.
Yeah, and plus you walk by them and you're like, they fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like, he's 5 years old. He right. barely knows how to hit these keys. Like, let me try it. You know?
Yeah, good for you. And as a human being, we have that initial like, this is discomfort.
Yeah.
I want to quit. I hate it.
Yeah.
And that, if you can get past that, I think that's like the key to everything in life.
To everything.
Everything.
And discomfort always equals growth. And you gotta stay uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Sometimes you have to force discomfort on yourself.
Yes.
Like one of the only constant discomforts you can have, I think, like especially if you're living comfortably, is like exercise.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can be like, you can have a great bed and a great house and you're like, everything's nice. But like, if you go to do exercise and you push it to like a feeling of discomfort, mm-hmm. just that feeling of like, at least I have a moment of true discomfort.
Yes.
In this day is good for you.
That's so key. I mean, you heard like Wim Hof and all these psychos talk about like jumping in an ice bath right when you wake up and all that. And people go, well, what's the benefit? Is it health? And he's like, just because you did something shitty immediately and now the rest of your day is better and fulfilling or whatever it is. But nobody does it because they're like, what are the results? Can I make money? Does it make me taller? Like, no, no, it's just mental shit.
Mental shit.
And it's discomfort and getting out of discomfort. And your life goes up 20% happiness.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get shit. Like, all right, if I eat at McDonald's, I'll feel happy right now. But you're like, that's going to fuck you up. You got to do something you don't want to do. And it's so hard for people to grasp that.
It's so true, man. I mean, I feel like this year like is such a focus on mental health and like just health overall.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been eating clean. And, you know, exercising a lot. And the whole time I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot that this just makes me feel better.
Yes.
You know, like eating the egg whites and the chicken and the broccolini and stuff. Like, even though I wasn't always eating, like every time I eat it, I'm like, yeah, but I feel better.
There you go. You know? It's true.
I feel happier.
Yeah. You know? And it's not as flavorful at the time, but hey, this is going to be better in an hour.
Yeah.
And people can't see that hour.
Yeah, that's true.
They go, now. I want the fucking, you know, double down.
Everything's now.
Everything's now. Yeah. But like, I mean, think back to when you were 21. That was 10 minutes ago.
Right.
You know, like your kids, like I'm a big cunt about kids. I'm like, kids, I don't know, the crying, the shitting, the diaper, the whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, but you're going to snap and that's going to be over. And then they're going to be, you know, wrestling with you. And then you're throwing a football.
It's
and
true.
Then before you know it, they're in college.
It goes quick, man. Mm-hmm. Like both these guys were, feels like babies yesterday. And, you know, they're 5 and almost 3. And like you're having full conversations with them. And you realize that the 5-year-old, you know, he's a little dude.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, he goes to the bathroom by himself. You know what I mean? Like it happens fast, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
And now you probably, like Bill Burr always says, I can't believe I didn't do this earlier. I was scared and this is like the coolest thing. And you've never loved something like this, blah, blah, blah.
It's rad. And they're
really?
Like,
really?
It's really cool. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't do the thing where you're not honest about it.
Sure, like, please.
It's super, there's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I remember when Christina was pregnant with our first Ellis, who's 5. I remember that there's this thing, cause she points it out. She's like, hey, like flipped a switch.
Oh yeah.
Where you went into like y'all, I always had a good work ethic, but she was like, you went like crazy with work because you start going like, I have to support.
Yes.
You know, be able to pay for this kid.
Interesting.
So that kind of like a flip kind of does switch on you. And there's, you know, there's a lot of stressful moments and like, yeah, when they're babies, you know, you've never had a baby. You're
yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
The crying and the crying and the sleep deprivation.
Nightmare.
That's the worst, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, getting over that. I do think that the upside far outweighs.
Okay.
You know?
That helps.
Yeah.
And talk about discomfort and talk about a new challenge and talk about
satisfying.
Making a good podcast is one thing. Imagine making a good human.
A good human, yeah. And it's really cool. Like you see your kid develop a personality and like, you know, yeah, you do feel pride. Like when you're out and my son's like introducing himself to people.
Oh,
and
being
like,
come on.
Yeah. It just kills you.
Anyone else hard?
Yeah.
Oh, these kids.
So adorable.
That's so nice to hear you say, because, you know, all we talk about is like, we got to leave a good planet for our kids. Like, hey, how about we leave some good kids for the planet?
Yeah.
You know, your kids fucking suck.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to you, dickless. You got shitty, snot-nosed, annoying, unpolite kids.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Dude,
you suck. They don't realize they suck, and then they're making little thems.
Dude, they do. And you realize that like a lot of people are checked out as parents.
Yeah. Oh,
I actually was like proud that this guy said this to me. I took my son to get a tennis lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jesus, he came with the fucking activities. The
I
piano,
know.
The
Well,
lessons.
You got to keep, I mean, they're just energy ball. Like he wakes up and runs down. Like my alarm is him running down the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes in, he's like, good morning. And you're like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Is he gay?
I
good
mean,
morning.
He's like fucking, it's fucking 5:30. Come back in an hour, bro.
Ugh.
Like he's, yeah.
Brutal.
But he's shot out of a cannon, ready to go. So we're always trying to burn his energy off. But we took him this tennis lesson and he was fucking around, you know? And I was doing a lesson on the other court.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see him like not doing, and I just, I yelled.
Oh, good. Inside.
I go, hey, if you're not going to fucking pay attention, we're going to leave here right now. So yeah. Like, pay attention. And I had to do it like two more times. But afterwards, this whole thing was that the next time I had a lesson, it was by myself. The coach goes, hey, I just want to let you know, like, you're one of like two parents that does that.
Oh, good.
Like everybody else, they'll just see that happening and they just, they don't care.
Wow.
They're like, so they're like, he's like, we talked about how it's nice to have a parent, you know, make his kid pay attention.
Right.
Because he goes, a lot of them, they just, they don't give a shit. They'll just let it happen. I was like, oh yeah, that would make me crazy.
Good for you. It's weird when you see that guy at the gym with the loud music on his boombox thing and you're like, you know, we don't want to hear
how
that.
How are you oblivious?
Yeah. And that's all, I'm just lifting weights going like, how can this guy, because you're kind of, you hate the guy, but you're also kind of like, man, it must be a nice life.
Oh, yeah.
To just do what you want all the time and not feel that weird remorse or
I think society has like
guilt.
A 50-50 split in people who are, because you ever do that thing where, I remember one time I landed on a flight and the guy like two rows over started like on his phone. He's like, yeah, so we just landed here, and like real loud.
Mm-hmm.
And without saying anything, I look at another passenger.
Yeah.
And we just look at each other and we're like, same time, like shake our heads.
That's good.
Because I'm like, oh, we speak the same language.
Right.
That this is super annoying.
Right.
And how is this guy this oblivious that no one wants to hear his fucking phone call?
And you know what's interesting is a lot of times I'll have that moment too, and I notice the two people having that moment that you're having are in first class, and this guy's in the back, and you go, maybe there's something to being successful and living a good life when you actually think about other people's feelings, you fucking twat.
Yeah. Well, we were in first class.
Aha! Yeah. You see? And then they go, rich people are evil, and you're like, nah, we just worked hard and have a brain, and we're not fucking selfish douches.
It also makes me crazy. You know, I always think about that. Like, you're in a restaurant, and your kid takes a spoon and start doing this. I'd be like, hey, man. Like, no one wants to hear that shit.
Right.
You know? I don't want to hear it at home, let alone when I'm out.
Right. So, I can do you one better. When I was a kid, you would yell, your parents would yell at other kids.
Yeah.
And that you don't see anymore.
People that
like,
doesn't
how dare you talk to my son that way, whatever. And you're like, well, he was, you know, pissing on the laundry or whatever. Like, so we had to do something.
Sure.
So that was good too. I got hit by a friend's mom once.
Really?
Yeah. And I totally deserved it, and I'm changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore.
No. Well, you know what else is weird, too, especially with white people, is like, you know, we have kids so much later because we're like, hey, I want to have a fucking life. Fuck you, rugrat, you know? Yeah. And so you have a kid when you're 41 or 39 or whatever, when, you know, biologically, you're kind of supposed to have a kid at 24 or whatever.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of, like, older parents now who are, like, doing their thing, and then the kid's doing his thing, and he's just staring at a screen, and they never got kind of, the parent doesn't have as much energy to discipline.
Yeah, I mean, I completely would understand that. I think it's like just mind-blowing when you hear about like these 60-year-old, the guy having the kid, and you're like, how are you going to be involved at all in this?
I know.
It's so nuts.
DMX had 15 kids.
He did.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
That's crazy.
But you also hear about like, so-and-so is going to be a father, and you're like, this guy's in his 60s?
I know. Mick Jagger just had a kid. He's like 900 years old. You know, it's crazy how people do this, but hey, you know.
I'm sure he'll be really involved.
Yeah, he'll be involved financially. Like, here you go. Put money in it.
Yeah, here's a check.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, you talked me into it. I'm gonna do the kid thing.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
You got to pick a lady. Oh, you have a lady.
I got a hot lady at home, and she's got ample bosom to feed.
How long you guys been together?
5 years.
Oh, that's a good long while.
Oh, is it?
I mean, yeah,
oh,
5
God.
Years is a good, that's not like a,
don't say that. Now she's like, I told you.
No, I mean, like, that's a real relationship, I'm saying.
It's
not
a real relationship.
It's not like 5 months or
something. No, for sure.
Five years is a real thing.
And, you know, I'm pushing 40 here, Fatty, so it's getting down to the wire.
Get her on it, man.
Yeah, and she's ready.
She's ready?
Yeah.
Dump your clip and just see what happens, man.
Isn't it weird that anybody would procreate with us?
I know.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, you're at least successful and somewhat normal. You seem normal for a comedian, I must say.
I mean,
you'll probably strangle a dog in an alleyway at some point, but you seem well adjusted.
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
No.
Did you run over a kid last week? And we keeping
that
quiet?
I think I have normal attributes. I think just like a lot of people, you know, you have layers to your personality. So
yeah.
I definitely know how to act.
You do?
Yeah, and I know how to behave. And then I have like craziness within me too that I try to channel into, you know, like what we do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
yeah, like Bert with the sex, pumping it in, you pumping the anger somewhere else.
Yeah. I try to. I mean, sometimes it comes out.
Uh-oh. Have you killed like a Jewish kid or something?
That's why I keep hiring them. It's like a guilt thing, you know?
And they don't fight back, which we've learned from history. Yeah. But yeah, maybe financially you guys will fight back.
Like, I definitely couldn't do the drink thing because I know what, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't.
You'll have a Mel Gibson moment.
I'm not angry drunk. I talk a lot of shit, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm a real shit talker, like, you know, and I'll get.
And we got microphones all over us.
Yeah, so I definitely feel like I do that like once a year.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'll have a drink, I'll have a glass of wine with dinner or whatever, but like where I really tie one on, mm-hmm. it's like once a year, you know?
Damn.
And I try to do it with like people close to me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, protect me.
Yeah.
You know, like don't let me do anything crazy. like
that yeah, kind of thing. I know.
Because if I did it like Bert does, for sure I would be dead or in jail. Like right. For sure.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, do you ever have that thing? I mean, we're kind of the same age and... I should be dead just from high school and college, like the drinking and driving, the falling asleep while driving, the waking up in these places. I woke up on the sidewalk once. I mean, yeah, like I should be dead or at least like beat up a lot more.
Dude.
But one time I went to a bar and my friend said it looked like a Marx Brothers movie. Like I was on the table, then I grabbed the fire extinguisher and shot everybody and all this shit. But the craziest thing, my friends were fucking mooks, like animals, you know, football playing, like white guys from the South who wore shorts and tucked their button down in and wore loafers, but fucking went nuts.
Yeah.
And I went out with my friends. We got drunk, whatever. I don't remember anything. I was with my girlfriend at the time. They had to drag me up to my porch at my home and she's helping, you know, and it's like a Tuesday, it's a school night. And then as a goof, she's trying to get me in the house quietly because my parents are sleeping. And as a goof, they go, "Hey, Norman." And my girlfriend looks back and they shoot us both with paintballs and just like light up the house and light me. I'm like,
oh my God.
I don't remember any of this. But she told me
so bad.
I don't remember a thing. I didn't wake up. I was blacked out through the whole thing. The house is, you know, the whole thing's yellow.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, they peel off in their fucking jacked up truck. And then my dad comes out, and he was a military guy, much like your own. He's like, what the fuck? He's having flashbacks. He's flipping out. So he comes out, and he sees me laying there covered in yellow paint and my girlfriend crying. And he's like, what the fuck's going on? So he picks us both up. He throws me in the, you know, the hallway of the house. He's like, you, upstairs, now. And she's crying. She runs upstairs, and he picks me up and spanks me. In the living room, he wasn't a hitter, but he just didn't know what to do. He was like having a meltdown. Spanks me on my ass. I start laughing, and my girlfriend's watching through the railing of the banister of the stairs. And I'm like, you know, my dad's spanking me.
Yeah.
And so he like lays me down on the living room floor, and then he goes, "You get down here to her." And he's like, "What's wrong with him? Why does he drink so much? Is he depressed?" And she's like, "I don't know." And then the next day, he wakes me up at like 7. I'm like, I can't move. Throws me in the shower with my clothes on, turns it on. He goes, "You're going to alcohol therapy or whatever it is." And I was like, what? And he drove me to this lady who like was a doctor and I don't know, had to ask me questions. But I still had, you know, some yellow here and shit. And it was a wild night, apparently.
That's pretty wild. I mean, what came of that session or that meeting? Did he follow up like, "Hey, what did she tell you?" Or like,
no, I mean, he was just pissed and he's like, "You're getting a job, you're going to military school, all this shit."
Holy, how old were you when that happened?
I don't know, 16, 17.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it was right at the cusp of like you're moving out soon and getting into college maybe, so that was pretty rough. But that was just a random night.
Yeah,
we did that kind of shit all the time,
dude. I remember, you just reminded me of when I first got out here. Like I was an intern at a entertainment, kind of like a place that made movies. They made like, so the studios would work with them to make movies.
You know? Well,
like,
what year, what age are we talking?
So I am 23.
Okay.
You're a free intern, by the way. It's unpaid, you know, they're just using you to read scripts and make notes. One night, some of the other interns and assistants, these are like assistants to like high level executives. Like, we're going to go out to this place on Sunset. So I started somewhere else with a friend. I end up there. And I am just, it's just knocking him down, just drinking.
Yeah.
So at one point, I haven't started stand-up, but like, you know, you have like a little bit of that in you.
Yes, of course.
So we're all at this place called Miyagi's, which was a big like sushi, but like party place on Sunset. And we're basically standing in a circle, like this table. And I'm holding court, like telling a story or something.
Yeah.
But I'm hammered. And
by the way, you probably think you're killing, but they're probably like, this fucking guy is a nightmare.
This guy. And then they're about to think it a lot more.
Yeah.
Because as I'm talking, and they had to like tell me this, and like parts, you know, sometimes parts of the memory come back to you. You're like, oh yeah. But one of the guys who I was close with at work, because you're telling this story, you vomit.
Oh man.
And he goes, you vomit, and like an incredible amount.
Yeah.
And you're doing that thing where when you're done vomiting and you're like, like spitting. Yeah. And, and he's like, we're inside a nice restaurant bar. And he goes, you spit like a couple of times. And then he goes, then you stood up and you went right back to your story.
Oh.
Like, and everybody's like, ugh.
Yeah. And, then, and you're the intern, by the way.
And I'm an intern. And then like I come in on Monday and I'm like, what's up, guys? And people are like, what do you mean, what's up? You're a fucking psycho.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, I can't believe they didn't throw you out.
I know. I know. I mean, I ended up getting like, carried home.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing about Bert. I'm waiting for that moment.
I know.
I'm waiting for him to just be on a podcast and you look down and his khakis are getting wetter. And you're like, oh, you're pissing. There it is.
He's like, I just don't know when I go. Yeah. I don't know. It just comes out.
I know. God damn. I mean, also, we're lucky that was never, no cell phone camera. That could have been a TikTok. Any moment of that could have been a TikTok. You getting dragged out, you puking, you spitting.
Oh, man.
Thank God there was no TMZ. Segura's lost it. You know?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what someone just sent me, by the way? I started to sweat watching it.
Oh, like, God.
They sent me a set that I did.
Oh.
Like 2 years into stand-up.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I recorded this. And I could not watch it. Started to watch it, and I was like, started to sweat.
And can I say about you, you're one of the rare cases. Like, usually you watch a guy's 15-year-old set, and you're like, man, you were so young and thin. You looked like hell back then, and you look great now.
Thanks, man.
You went the other way.
The other way, yeah.
Yeah, you were like a big guy with the only weird facial hair.
It's the only advantage to like not giving a fuck about yourself when you're young. It's like, I also see friends from high school, and like they look like shit now.
Yes.
Right? And then I look better than I did in high school.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. That's when you neglect yourself when you're young, you can improve later in life.
I look at sometimes I'll, because I'm a big stand-up nerd. I watch everything. Yeah. So I watch your old stuff and I'm like, you can just look at you and go, he'll never make it.
Yeah.
He's so unappealing looking that he's fucked. Like you looked like a guy who liked wings and tits. That was like your look.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of had a Vegas-y. There was a shiny shirt involved and your hair was pointy down.
Yeah. And you're like, this guy's a fucking mess.
Yeah. Like, you're like, I would never hang out with this guy. He's going nowhere. You look like he had flames on your car.
Probably.
You know?
Let's see. There's some.
Give me a real on stage, like a real.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, that's rough.
That's bad.
There, look at the gold chain, the chest hair. Yeah. I mean, this guy works at a place called Diamonds.
Yeah,
and it's a strip club.
It shouldn't happen
on the outskirts.
Keep scrolling.
Of town.
Let's see what else we got here.
Oh,
look how big I am right there.
Yeah, but that's kind of a sitcom.
Yeah, that is
picture.
A sitcom look.
I'm talking, you know, those shiny black shirts and the fun hair.
Yeah,
the gold chain, man.
Oh, there's,
there's a guy. Come on.
You think I like to tell? I'm holding the mic just like him.
And then look at that one on Conan. You're like this distinguished dude with the suit and the gray. You look cool as shit. Like that looks like a guy who sells a badass tequila.
Yeah. That is the guy who sells tequila.
Oh, there he is. Look at that one with the green green button down there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Was that Ben Glebe?
Oh yeah, but you were still getting laid.
Christina with the bangs. She's got the bangs.
Yeah.
Look, that's me when I first got to LA on the right.
Woo-wee.
On this one, the other one, to the right. That's me when I first.
Well,
got
hey,
to LA.
Well, that guy's a smoke show.
That's how I got laid at 22.
What happened?
I just fucking neglected myself again.
Yeah, I guess so. Because the one next to it, that's like a before and after.
I know.
Drug use.
That's like, I started doing stand up, and. I don't know what's going to happen with my life. This is scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But you got good bones. No pun intended. Like you're like a house it was falling apart, but you can see this
when you
good
reduce
there.
All the fat, the bone structure is not that bad.
Not bad. And the eyeballs are gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah, you're solid.
Yeah.
And as a guy, my hair is thinning, so I let it grow out just to cover.
Dude, do stuff now. This is what you got to do. You got to act now.
But what do I do? I mean, I'm on Propecia.
Okay, at least you're doing that.
That's not enough, I don't think.
I don't know. I don't know the thing to do. I just know that, like, I almost want to fucking punch the guy that was cutting my hair.
Mm.
Because I remember when it started, to, like, I had hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I started to thin. He's like, hey, you know,
oh, you're good. No, fuck that
And
guy.
I'm like, really? He's like, nah, man. Like, he was doing it to be, like, polite.
Right, right.
And then, like, a year goes by, and now this is my... It's either this or, like, a transplant, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to be trans.
So, I don't want to be trans. So, I am having bottom surgery soon, but No, it's like, now I'm lucky that I have this shaped head.
Yeah,
because I don't have a fucked up, like, occipital plate.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I can just do the buzz. But this is my option now.
But, it works. Yeah. It works well, and it's a good head.
But you got nice hair, man.
Oh, thank you. It's going, though. In 10 years, I'm going to look pretty rough, I think.
Well, this is the time.
This is the time.
This is time to reach out to options. Find out what your options are.
Keeps and hymns, and there's all kinds of shit now.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But, like, what they all say is, like, as you notice it going... You have to do something. If you go like, oh, I'm bald now. They're like, well, yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Isn't it weird we can't fix this, though? Like, we got everything.
It's going to be like crypto. When we're 60. They're going to be like, oh, just take one pill.
I know. We can freeze eggs, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got nothing for the hair.
For the fucking hair, man.
But I think there's all these stats, though, that say, like, bald shaved head is sexy, blah, blah, blah.
It's all, like, people tell me, you know, I get messages, oh, you know, the beard, I love the beard. And then you're the next person is like, why don't you shave your stupid beard? And you're like, I don't know.
I know. People, they're hard to please.
They're hard to please.
That's why you get married, you lock it down, you move on.
Mark Norman, soon to be a father.
Watch me just shoot blanks now after all this.
All this time.
Yeah.
Couple things you got to check out. You got to check out to Lunch, his special on YouTube. Millions of views. You're going to watch it if you haven't. Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List. We Might Be Drunk with Sam Morril. Super funny guys, and I'm sure the podcasts are great. You do them each every week, both a week?
Yeah, weekly. Yep. Tuesday and Sunday they come out, and perfect. People are digging it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thank you for coming today.
Hey, thanks
a lot of fun.
Having me. This is an honor. I'm a fan.
Yeah, well, me too, and I'm so glad Bert's gone. All right.
Yeah.
See you next time.
After all this.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.